Did you you survive the flurry of deals over that weekend and then the Monday and Tuesday?
Apparently. Here I am.
Yeah. everything kind of went as expected in terms of who left. Was there anybody you thought might go that didn't?
I thought they might trade one of the outfielders, but I guess, you know, they just didn't get the offers back. I mean, I know they said they had conversations about them, not necessarily that they were looking to trade them, but that other people ask about. So, you know, that's going to be a problem they have to address in the winter because they still have too many of those guys for the playing time that they have available. But, no, for the most part, I think they did, you know, what they wanted to do. I think the one probably, I don't want to call it a misconception, but maybe the desire of fans a little bit was they thought the return for those guys was a little bit light because all you got, you know, was one guy that's actually pitching in the big leagues and he's a relief pitcher, middle relief. Everybody else they got, you know, either in Springfield or Memphis or, you know, somewhere else in the farm system. But I think that's just the reality of trading a player that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, that, you know, teams don't want to give up, you know, a major league player or a guy that's probably their top, you know, one or two prospects for a guy that they know they're perhaps only going to have for a couple months.
I've seen one of them down here with the Springfield Cardinals, so JC, and I really think he is a great prospect. He's a poised player. He's not a big kid, but hits the ball well, and his defense is superb.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him this weekend. But I think the other thing too about it is I think the Texas trade, the Montgomery trade, was probably the best of the trades that they made, at least from what I can tell so far as the prospects they got back. And I think that kid's supposed to be pretty good, and then they got the Roby pitcher that they got, who was pitching in Double-A early this year and then got a shoulder injury. If he's healthy, the scouts just rave about his ability. And he's had some arm and shoulder injuries that they're going to have to figure out. He's at the rehab center program in Jupiter right now, but the Cardinals think he'll pitch, you know, before the end of the year, which probably means he'll be in Springfield too at some point here. So looking forward to seeing him once he gets healthy. But they say that he's you know, he's got, you know, middle of rotation kind of potential at the big league level if he is healthy. So,
Rob, I used to have to search everywhere, and now that I'm at stlsportspage.com, I just go to one place because, I mean, you cover the Cardinals as thoroughly and better than anybody else out there as a site. If you had to give a letter grade to what the Cardinals did at the trade deadline, what would it be?
I was, you know, without thinking about it, just off the top of my head, I would probably say a B, simply because I think, as I say, I like the players, the prospects they got. When you realize that they're not going to get, you know, they're not going to fill their need for a number one starter or a number two starter with any of the players that they traded, you know, I think you look at the prospects they got back, and there are some interesting names there. So I would probably say a B, you know, maybe a B+.
Okay, Rob, two questions, if I can. Number one, Mr. Mozeliak told Flaherty that you never say never. Does that indicate to you that the Cardinals might come after him during the winter in free agency? And number two, when are you down here? What games?
I'll be there Saturday and Sunday.
Excellent.
I know. I told you. You told me you had a TV game on Sunday. I'll be ready for you.
All right, you better be. We've got your reserve now.
What was anything in particular you're coming
my normal,
down?
My normal appearance fee, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Just make sure it's cold, right? Yeah. What are you coming down for? Anything in particular?
A couple things. I want to see, you know, Sagisi play, but I also want, I'm starting to work on a big feature on Tim Kemp's. So need to kind of give him the in-depth profile treatment that I haven't given him yet, that I've given to some of the other guys. So in the system, I'm working on re-ranking my prospect list that I always do every year after the trade deadline. That'll be coming out in the next couple, 3 days. So the hint that the top two guys may be guys that you either have seen recently in Springfield or are seeing right now. So
when are you going to see the kid from the Netherlands in Memphis?
After I go to Springfield.
Okay.
I'm on my way to Memphis. I don't know what day he's going to pitch, but I'm on my way to Memphis after spending the weekend in Springfield.
Rob, we were talking in the first hour, you know, kind of in relation to the 1-0 loss yesterday. And, you know, how are the Cubs doing what they're doing and the Cardinals are not? I mean, is there really that much difference talent-wise between the two?
Yeah, I don't think so. I you know, the thing is, I really like the Cardinals lineup. I mean, from a position player standpoint, I don't know really what I would change about, you know, who plays where, you know. So it's just one of those wacky seasons that we talked about before where everything that, you know, any small mistake that you make is magnified and ends up, you know, losing your ball game usually, you know. But I don't know, you know, you got to blame pitching staff. I really do think so. I mean, you're going to have games like yesterday, frustrating offensively. All they needed was one hit, you know, at some point in the game, and they would have won that ballgame. And I think it was especially magnified because you're playing the Rockies, you know, the only team in the league that has a worse record than you do, and you lose 2 out of 3 games at home to them. So, you know, but I think by and large, you know, we've talked about before. I mean, this is a Goldschmidt and Arenado team. I mean, we saw in the playoffs last year, you know, even when Pujols was here, you know, so those guys have got to be the guys carrying the bulk of the load. So, you know, you don't want to put too much, you know, on their shoulders because there are, you know, 8 or 9 other players in the lineup that could get it done too. But, you know, I don't know what more you really could have expected from Walker in his rookie year. I don't really know much more you could have expected from Gorman this year in his second year. I mean, he leads the club with 24 home runs. You know, Goldschmidt and Arenado have been good. They've been solid. You know, so, you know, Contreras has hit. I mean, I know there's questions about his catching ability and all that kind of stuff. But he's, you know, but since he got past that first month of the season, you look at his offensive numbers, and they're probably about what they expected him to do. You know, O'Neill's injury probably affected him a little bit as far as the total overall output of the offense. But to me, where this team has to get better next year is on the pitching side. I mean, I'd blow the whole bullpen up and start over again if it was me. I think part of the – and I didn't really answer your question. We got sidetracked talking about TV there. I do think that they have an interest in bringing Flaherty back. I think they have an interest in bringing Jordan Hicks back. And I think they will have conversations about that with him as free agents. I think it's just a matter of what other offers they get out there and what he wants to do, you know, what they want to do. So we'll see.
You've heard the same thing that we have down here, that Flaherty would like to play someplace on the West Coast. This ain't the West Coast, nor is Baltimore.
He's never, not that I've seen him say that. You know, I mean, people say that because he's an L.A. guy. He lives in L.A. in the winter. You know, but I've never heard him specifically say that he wants to live there. Wants to play there. I think, you know, all things being equal, you know, if you get the same exact offers from a club that's a good contending club, I think he wants to win. Okay. You know, I think he wants to go someplace where he has a chance to be in the rotation, that has a chance to go to the playoffs. So he's just going to figure out where that is, you know, and where he feels comfortable.
How many pitchers do they need to sign this winter? And do you think Mo learned his lesson from not doing it this past winter?
Let's hope. And I remember saying one time that hope is not a strategy, but, you know, I think that I would put the number 3, you know, and I don't know that it doesn't necessarily all have to be free agents. I could see, you know, a combination of trades and free agents. It depends too. I mean, are you talking about going out and spending, you know, $200 million to sign Aaron Nola? I still don't see that's something they're going to do, you know, as much as everybody'd like to see him doing, as easy as it is to spend other people's money. I think they're going to be still dealing in that, you know, the second tier of free agent starters, you know, the Sonny Grays of the world, the Toledo's of the world, Flaherty, baby Kyle Gibson, you know, somebody like that, you know, can give them a solid, you know, middle of the rotation kind of starter, and then see what you can pull out of the trade market, maybe from one of the Seattle guys or one of the Miami guys or somebody at the Dodgers, you know, the clubs that have good starting pitching that just were elected to trade it at the deadline. I think you go back to those guys and say, okay, now we have more time to work out a trade package. You know, what have you got that we can match up with?
Rob, do you perceive any specific pressure on Marmol?
No. Not as long as there's no pressure on Mozeliak, because I think that they're kind of tied to the hip. I just think they feel like this year was just an outlier, and they want to come back, see what they can do to improve the pitching, and then see what happens next year. But, you know, as we've talked before, I think the problem with you know, changing the manager is always the easiest move to make when a team struggles, but it's not necessarily the reason that they've struggled. And I think if the Cardinals had not made some of the other managerial changes that they've made in the last, you know, 5 years or so, there probably would be a different feeling about that. But I think the fact that, you know, he was his handpicked choice, and, you know, he doesn't want to admit that he's, you know, had to fire 3 managers in 6 or 7 years. That's just not, you know, some point that comes back on the guy doing the hiring.
Are they stuck with Contreras, and are they okay with that?
Well, you never say stuck, because I suspect somebody would probably be interested if they were to work out a deal as far as the financial part of it. I mean, it's a lot of money. What's going to be like $70 million 4 years or whatever left after this year on a contract? So I think that they'd have to figure out some kind of a way to to have a club help a club out financially, but I suspect there'll be conversations over the winter. I mean, they really like the way Herrera played the couple weeks that he was up here, and I think you'll see him again probably in September, get some experience. And if they like the way he plays in September, they still like Kisner as you know, being able to split time with him. Wouldn't surprise me if they try to make a deal there sometime over the winter. But I think this club probably has very few untouchables as far as when it comes to trades this winter. There probably were more at the trade deadline, but I mean, obviously you're not trading Goldschmidt, you're not trading Arenado, you're not trading Walker, you're not trading Gorman, you're not trading Lynn, you're not trading Hintz. But I think beyond that, you know, they'll listen. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to trade everybody, but I think they would, you know, those names will probably come up in conversations.
Speaking of Lynn, are we simply waiting for him to get into September and cut down the number of at-bats and keep that rookie status? Is that what it is right now?
I think that's part of it. I think part of it too is that they really want, you know, give Carlson some time in center field, and if he see what you know happens there, and if they do that, then where does Edmund play? You know, right now he's safe playing shortstop. So I think you know he came out of the game yesterday early in Memphis, and everybody got all excited, thinking that maybe something was happening, but turns out he had a minor glute strain or something. So that's probably something that's going to keep him. They can use that as a reason to not promote him for a couple more weeks. There's a limit, and I don't remember what direct, but it is off the top of my head, but there is a limited number of days you have to be under to retain your rookie status. And I think it's under 100 at-bats for the season to retain your rookie status. So there's an incentive for them to do that because of the fact that then if he finishes high in the Rookie of the Year voting, you can get a compensation draft pick, you know, another early draft pick the following year. So he'll be here, my guess is sometime, you know, right at the end of August, but we'll see.
When you watch Jordan Walker at the plate now, and he slumped a little bit here again the last couple of weeks, what do you see? I mean, do you still see that potential to be a 3,100 guy for many years? Kind of give us your assessment of his rookie year.
Yeah, I think he's had a very good rookie year. I think you know that the whole learning curve in the outfield has probably affected him offensively, even though he probably wouldn't admit it, and the team might not admit it. But I think you do. You know, when you're worried about stuff like that, it does have to have an effect on you in the other parts of the game. So I think he's handled all that really well. He knows he needs to get better in the outfield. I still wonder if 2 years from now he's going to be playing first base. but, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, trying to make him change, you know, positions again. But, you know, other than the way, you know, Baker hit the ball in Memphis, they really don't have a homegrown replacement for Goldschmidt at first base if next year is, in fact, his last year. You know, this is last year of his contract. I don't know if he wants to play anymore after that or not, or whether he'll become the DH or what. So there's some question there. But I think, you know, he's, I don't know that he's a 30 home run guy. He might get there some years. I think he's more of a steady, probably. I think he's going to hit for higher average than Gorman, but probably, you know, I think he can hit 300, probably 25 homers, you know, maybe approach 100 RBIs, depending on where he's hitting in the order. But I think Gorman's always going to hit for more power. I think Gorman's more of your traditional, you know, 30, 100 kind of guy.
Are they counting Helsley to close the rest of the year when he comes back, or what do they do there?
I think it'll be a mismatch. You know, they really like Romero. I mean, they really like the way he's pitching, comes in and throws strikes and attacks guys, and he's got the swing and miss stuff that they like. So I think you'll see both those guys, you know, in the eighth and ninth inning, kind of depending on the matchups and who they're facing and who's had the, you know, pitch the day before or a couple of days out of the last 3 days or stuff like that. But he'll get some save opportunities, I'm sure.
And are you still as high on Liberatore as the club was when they brought him in?
We'll see how he pitches the next 2 months. I mean, I think this is really the first test for him that he's had a time where he knows that, okay, I can go out here and pitch, and I'm not worried about getting tapped on my shoulder and coming to the office and you're going back to Memphis tomorrow if he didn't have a good start. So that's, you know, that maybe it was going to free him up mentally a little bit to kind of pitch a little more relaxed and, you know, and see what he's got. I mean, he's got the ability. I mean, I think, you know, people see the fact that he struggled up here a little bit, you know, the last couple of years. And they forget one important fact. Well, there are two important facts. One is that he's 23 years old. I mean, he's not exactly older, you know, too old to be a prospect. And the second thing is, like you just mentioned, he hasn't had that really extended, you know, 7, 8, 9 starts in a row. So let's give him those this rest of the season and see where we are.
How about approving grounds for Steven Matz these final weeks?
Yeah, I think they just want to see him continue to pitch the way he's pitched. I mean, he's, you know, ever since he came back in the rotation in July, he's done exactly what they were hoping he'd do when they signed him to that contract. So what exactly his struggles were early this season. I mean, last year, I think you can check it off to a couple of things. One, the first year in a new team, and second year, that all the injuries that he had to deal with. But I don't know what exactly was going on the first half of this season, but he seems to figure out something when he was in the bullpen that is to work for him once he's come back. So, you know, that you got him and Michaelis, you know, to pencil, you know, in for to write in ink, I think, for the rotation for next year. And you probably have Levator in there, depending on how the rest of this season goes. And then go find a couple other guys, you know, whether it's one of the guys that you've got in the deal or one of the guys you got already in your system that can move up quickly. Or you got, you know, Graceffo, I would say, would be probably more in line to be that guy, except, you know, he missed so much time with the shoulder inflammation this year that, you know, I don't know what he's going to be ready or not, you know. And I suspect it wouldn't surprise me if he goes to the fall league and tries to make up some of those innings they didn't get to pitch this summer. So, you know, but I think they have to have at least three guys coming from the outside who look as potential starters. You know, they want to see what Hudson does the rest of this season, but I think it'd be a major disappointment if they don't go out and get those guys and say, okay, well, we saw Levator pitch well, he's going to be the third starter, Hudson's going to be the fourth starter, and then we'll find somebody in the free agent, you know, trash heap in March for the fifth spotter role. So I think if they try to do that, the fans will notice. Did you guys notice something? Were you watching the game yesterday on TV?
I saw it, yeah.
What do you think of the crowd?
I know, I just told you, Scott, before we start on here, I looked at the box score, said 40,000. If that's 40,000, I'm 21 years old.
Well, you're not. That was... That was the tickets sold. The actual turnstile count was about 15,000 less than that. And that's a number that they're going to notice, you know, and I don't think that's the only game that's going to be the case the rest of the season. So that's going to show them that the fans really kind of are ready for them to do something to fix up this ball club.
Hurriedly. Got you penciled in second through the ninth inning, you know, on Sunday night. Is that all right?
Huh? You're gonna have to raise my appearance fee.
Rob, thanks a million for visiting with us. See you Sunday.
I'll see you guys this weekend. All right, Rob. Take care.
Rob Raines visiting with us. We'll take a quick time out on the Sports Reporters, brought to you by Play It Again Sports. Fremont.